Julian Boucher, you're chief archaeologist at the Museum of London, and you've just you've done the excavations of the Rose and the Globe Theatre and written a book, co-authored a book about it. You must know as much about Shakespeare's London as anybody. We went there earlier, outside the Globe. What would it have been like in those days in that street?
Southwark is sometimes thought to have been a quiet area because it was outside the city, south of the city, but actually it was rather a bustling little suburb and would have had crowded, muddy streets like much of London at the time.
Would it have been the same width as it is now, the road? Or?
Probably a bit narrower. And in fact, actually, it would have had two ditches, irrigation ditches.
Not sewage, not...
They're called sewers, but actually they were irrigation ditches, not sewage in the modern sense of waste.
Oh, right. Now, there's the Globe is there, and 50 yards away is the Rose. That's so close. I mean, why was it built so close?
I think there are a couple of reasons. The most pragmatic and obvious one is availability of land. But what they're really doing, I think when the Chamberlain's Company wanted to find a new home, which is where the Globe ended up, they really wanted to be in a theatrical area. The sort of theatrical area of London had started off in Shoreditch, where the theatre and the Curtain were built in the 1570s. The Rose had been built in Southwark on Bankside in 1587, and the Swan arrived a little farther upstream in 1595.
So only 500 yards away, that this one.
Yeah.
So you had three theatres, and eventually were they all going on at the same time?
Not quite. The Hope was built there. Not quite. The Rose was pulled down in 1606, but the Hope was built there in 1613. So there weren't four all at once. There were four theatres in that area, but not all quite at the same time.
And they all had sort of capacities of 2,500 to 3,000.
Something like that. It's difficult to be exact. We don't know exactly how the seating was arranged. But yes, somewhere in that area.
Most of London must have gone to the theatre. It's only because London only had about 200,000 inhabitants, didn't it?
I think there have been all sorts of calculations as to how many people in London went to see a play every day. A different play was put on nearly every single day. And there were umpteen, well, I'd say about 10 different playhouses throughout the capital. So there was an awful lot of theatrical activity going on, yes.
Right, and Bankside was at the time the kind of epicentre. Shakespeare, did he live here?
He moved to this area in the late 1590s. There are certain references saying that he was somewhere living in the Liberty of the Clink, otherwise known as the Bishop of Winchester's Manor. There's one reference that says he lived near one of the bear gardens there, but we don't have an exact address.
Right. But he, next door to the Globe, there was a tap house owned by James Hemmings.
Yes, well, nearly all of these playhouses, these playhouses were far too small to have, you know, a bar or a foyer or whatever in the modern theatrical sense. But they certainly provided refreshments. Bottled ale, for example, is well known. Fruit, nuts, I think there's certainly one reference to meat pies, unlikely to have been cooked on the premises. But these would have come from an adjacent building, more used for storage and dissemination rather than cooking or preparing. And in a number of cases, we know that there are tap houses derived from the tap room where you're serving beer. And yes, the one adjacent to the Globe built for that purpose.
It was owned by Hemmings, who was a fellow actor.
Shakespeare
unquestionably must have had a drink there.
Well, as I say, I'm not sure if it's a room where you actually went to have a drink or if it's a building where they stored it and had, as it were, little boys with trays, rather like old-fashioned usherettes, to take victuals, as they were called, around inside the playhouse itself. I think that's how it worked.
If you turn around from the Globe remains, you see the FT, the Financial Times building now. What was behind there? There was the, is it the Elephant?
There were a number, Bankside itself, the thoroughfare, if you like, called the Bankside, was famous for hundreds of years and rather notorious for having nearly every single building, either a brothel or a tavern or a gambling den, sometimes all three in one.
Oh, yes, because Park Street wasn't all it was called, that was it?
Park Street was always there, but it was actually originally called Maiden Lane, which is clearly a reference to activities happening right, on the Bankside. Right. In fact, even its earlier Latin name derives from that as well. There are a number of famous, well-known taverns along the Bankside, which the Elephant was one, the Falcon was another.
The Elephant, I think, is mentioned in Twelfth Night, isn't it? Yes. Twelfth Night is not situated in London.
There's often sort of a bit of a geographical shift from the stories, but also you want to reveal the familiar to the actual playgoers.
Yes, so they have got a cheap laugh, I guess, a reference to the product placement.
It's rather like the reference to the Boar's Head, the tavern utilised in Henry IV by Falstaff, which is on the North Bank.
Yes.
So there are references to quite a few of these taverns, yes.
Right. And finally, there was the Swan, as you say, 500 yards away. Are there any remains of that? Or?
No, none at all, because we think we know almost exactly where that was. And there was a 1970s bank built on the site, which
it's just south of Blackfriars. Just is it upper, just below Upper Ground? Is that it?
Upper Ground is Waterloo, isn't it?
Oh right, okay.
It's just around the corner from Hopton Street, and the building that we think is almost certainly on that site has a double basement, so it's unlikely to be anything left of earlier remains.
Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you very much indeed for that.